I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So several years ago, again, most of you know this, I experienced a pretty significant health setback. At that time, I had an MRI, and it showed something very troubling in my brain. I had 7 mold markers and 2 Lyme markers. In other words, places in my brain that showed either atrophy or brain swelling. And doctors said that the atrophy wasn't coming back. It was a bad report. In fact, both my doctors, my MD and Dr. Troy, whom you know, the functional med doc, said this is a bad report. But they said it's so odd because your cognitive function does not match what this report says. And they said I should be experiencing pre-Alzheimer's symptoms based on how bad that MRI was. And they said, you know, the only thing that we can deduce here is that the number of books you read each week on the show, the fact that you work out hard, which I do, and I have a little infrared sauna at home and I'm in that 5 times a week, my diet, my water intake, and the fact that I'm a fighting woman of faith and keep contending for the promises. They said this is the only thing that we can consider as to why that your cognitive function doesn't match the MRI. But it wasn't that I was without problems. I was having word find issues. In fact, it showed up on the show at times. My producer, Kim, always knew when I was feeling bad. She'd pray for me behind the scenes. As an author, I would look at the word T-H-E-R-E and T-H-E-I-R, and I could not tell the difference. Would have to Google to figure out which one goes where. After writing umpteen books, you know how horrifying that was. But then I dug in deeper to brain health and neuroplasticity. I worked hard on my brain health. I took care of some situations that were causing some of my issues. And here's some of the questions anyway we're going to address today. What can you do to improve your memory? Are there certain foods that help or hurt brain function? Is it possible to prevent Alzheimer's? And what about brain health? What should we know? That's what we're talking about today. My friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me every month to talk about health and the healing process. We're going to start our conversation talking brain health, but we welcome your questions. And I'm going to ask you again, please don't wait till the back half of the show to start calling. Even if you have to sit on hold for a few minutes while she and I chat, it's just better not to wait because oftentimes the texts and the calls flood toward the end and then we can't get to you. And Dr. Jill has shown up here to answer your questions as best as she can. A caveat, she's not here to diagnose you over the air, but she's offering just general help to help you move forward in the healing process. But it feels like brain health is a really important topic that we ought to discuss, especially since we're seeing more and more incidents of people with dementia-like symptoms in their 30s and 40s. There's a reason behind that. You can text or call 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Jill Carnahan's board certified in both family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She owns her own practice, Flatiron Functional Medicine in Louisville, Colorado. She's my very precious friend, and she's a woman of God. And we're grateful to have her with us today. Dr. Jill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It is always my pleasure to be here.
Well, you have a brilliant mind and you have a brain story, and I'm looking forward to hearing your testimony around that. And but let's start with a verse. Is there a passage you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yeah, this came to me the other day when I was just feeling, you know, the world, there's so much going on and so much anxiety, and the level of acuity for our patients and your listeners and people who are tuning in now. There's a lot going on in people's lives, and this came from 138:3. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. So that was a precious verse just a couple of days ago to me.
As soon as I pray, you answer me and encourage me by giving me strength. To me, that just shows the Father's posture. He's leaning in. He's for us. He's listening, and he moves when we pray. What a powerful verse. Well, give me, you know, you said before we got on the air today that you actually have a brain story as well. Why don't we start there?
I do. You know, from our previous conversations, I've been through cancer, been through Crohn's, been through mold-related illness, and none of that, even the chemotherapy, I had three-drug chemotherapy. I had a concussion and a car accident when I was 16. None of that seemed to affect my brain in any way until, like you, I had an encounter with mold in my office. And I remember it's so similar. I can relate the word finding, typing the wrong word, and I'm a writer too, Susie. And I remember the horror. I literally remember being on my knees just weeping and saying, God, you can take my right arm. You can take my, you know, my ability to run or to do this, but please, please, please don't take my brain. I remember just begging and calling out to God because, as you well know, this is my most important gift that God's given me, is the ability to diagnose and treat complex medical illness. And thank goodness, I want to tell you a couple of little funny stories to relate to what the mold did to my brain. It did not affect my ability to think in complex problem solving, but what it did is the things around that, like the writing, and most of that, just like you, because of resilience and some of the stuff I'll tell our listeners today, I feel like I'm nearly completely recovered. But what I noticed was the word finding, the writing was impaired. And then I used to be an avid reader. I could probably read a book a day, and it was a lot harder because in this case, sometimes the mold will affect your visual spatial. So if I was reading, I would have a lot more difficulty with the eyes and the tracking, and it wasn't the comprehension, it wasn't that. It just made me more tired to read. And again, I've been able to once again read since the mold, but that's a common thing. Just a couple funny stories. I remember going to a kickboxing class after I had kind of recovered from mold, and unbeknownst to me, this kickboxing gym was very moldy. And I drove my car back to my garage that I have parked in underground for years. And I sideswiped my brand new Lexus on the concrete pillar because my visual spatial judgment of perception was completely off from that mold. And literally, I had parked there every day, probably twice a day for the last 3 years. And that is an effect on the brain. We think about cognition, but even our balance, our visual spatial, our ability to read and process information, all of that are the things we're talking about. And one other thing I noticed after, there was a church I attended for a long time that had massive mold, and I am a very optimistic person. There's not many times in my life that I felt like I had depression, but I remember every time coming home from church, it felt like the world was ending, and I just emotionally have such a short fuse. I just fall apart. I felt like everything was terrible, and shortly after I got home, I'd take charcoal, and I'd be fine, and so the mold actually affected my mood for the short term.
Absolutely amazing. Nancy texts in, says, are there blood tests that can be done to tell if you have dementia or have a susceptibility towards dementia? What do you say?
Oh, great, great question. So I learned from Dale Bredesen, one of the best in this realm of looking at underlying root cause of either early dementia or just brain dysfunction. And he talks about 36 holes in the roof. And all that is an analogy to there's many, many different causes, just like what we do with functional medicine is look for root cause. There could be things like hormone deficiencies. There could be things like copper or metal toxicity. There could be things like mold or other toxins in your environment. There could be infections like viruses or Lyme or other things. And so a good doctor will actually look for all those different holes, and you can do blood tests to test each of those things. The one test I would say for sure that I would try to get is the gene test for ApoE. There's a gene called ApoE44, and it predicts 50 to 90% risk of Alzheimer's, which is huge. So if you particularly have the gene ApoE44, you want to do everything you can to protect your brain.
Well, that Dr. Dale Bredesen, your voice kind of bleeped out a little bit with your phone, but you talked about, if I remember right, he talked about, as you said, the holes in the roof, so to plug the holes. And so there are things that we can do, even if someone has it in their gene pool, to really, wouldn't that be to at least slow the progression and minimize the impact?
Yes, absolutely. The most exciting thing, Susie, is that we have neuroplasticity, and you basically described that with the doctors and what they told you about the MRI, and I've had the same experience because I've had MRIs that don't look so great. The truth is we can actually regenerate brain function and reverse some of the things that are happening that cause inflammation and symptoms.
Yeah, you know, I did an online course on limbic retraining, and it was so fascinating. The things you can and should do, especially when, you know, you think of even as Christians, the destructive thought patterns that we embrace are so damaging to our soul and to ourselves. And this online course, she talked about, you know, reframing, you know, kind of recreating new neural pathways by just thinking on different frames and a different framework, so to speak. And she even suggested moving some furniture around in your living room. So as you're re-engaging in a new thought process, so you're kind of putting a road closed sign on defeat and insecurity and borrowing fear and predicting the worst about your life. You stop with that and you start believing for the best. She said, move some furniture around in your living room as a visual to remind your brain, I'm doing something different in my brain. And she also said, coloring is so relaxing, but color with your opposite hands. If you're right-handed, sit down and color with your left hand. And she said, these just some of these, there's physical things like that that you can do to help you re-engage other parts of your brain. Have you heard of anything like that before?
Yes, absolutely. And it's part of that plasticity that we were talking about. What happens is we get in our same, whether it's our train of thoughts or our old belief patterns or our old defeating, you know, I would call them recordings in our brain where maybe I'm not good enough or I'm only loved if I achieve or those kinds of messages that we tell ourselves. So I've heard people even say, you know, when you get one of those messages, you say, stop, you know, delete, and then you can have another saying, you can have a Bible verse, something else to replace that message. Really, really important. But we can actually retrain by doing things differently. So if you always read in a certain place, like you said, or if you always write with your right hand, you might start with your left, and this creates more neural pathways.
Well, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to draw from a blog post that's on your site about 12 tips for a healthy brain. 12 tips for a healthy brain. We'll walk through some of these very practical ways you can move towards brain health, choices you can make. And then Mel asks this question, advice for managing or healing cognitive impairment due to EMF sensitivity. Very interesting question. We'll tackle that one on the other side. We welcome your calls and your texts, 877-933-2484. So we're just starting out the conversation talking brain health. We've got a little ways to go here. But if you have other questions around health, don't hesitate. Go ahead and text or call, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I have my friend Dr. Jill Carnahan on the show. She's a world-renowned mold expert, autoimmune expert. She's an MD and a functional med doc. And we are going to take your health and healing questions, but we're starting out the conversation talking about brain health. In fact, Mel writes in and says, advice for managing or healing cognitive impairment due to EMF sensitivity. What do you say?
So it's such a great topic that's becoming more of an issue as we have Wi-Fi everywhere we go. You know, a couple of things. First of all, if you are EMF sensitive, I would also check for the things that Susie and I talked about in the beginning, which is Lyme and mold, because sometimes you'll be colonized or you'll have had an exposure or you'll have an infection that actually exacerbates your sensitivity to EMF. So you kind of want to look at those root causes as well. Now, I have used building biologists. They are out there, professionals. We have one in Boulder that come to your house and actually assess your environment for EMF. And some of the things they recommended to me was to put a master switch on my circuit board so that I could turn off the electricity in my bedroom overnight. And that literally decreased my body voltage from like 3,000 to 300. It was dramatic. Mm-hmm. They also recommended a router cover, which is very simple because the router that you use, your home router, puts off quite a bit of frequency. And then you want to create a sleep sanctuary. And you can minimize exposure by actually, there's paints, there's a web netting you can put over your bed. It'll look like a mosquito netting, canopies, things like that. I mean, it depends how sensitive you are. You don't have to go to all these lengths, but there are lots of options. If you have anything that's on Bluetooth at night, like your phone, or I have an Oura Ring that's basically tracks, you know, body temperature and respiration rate and all those different modalities and those kinds of things. You shouldn't be sleeping with a lot of Wi-Fi, so you want to turn them off at night. And same thing as your phone. I always have my phone on airplane mode beside my bed.
Wow. This dear listener says, please ask Dr. Jill to spell the name of the dementia gene test. Is it AOE44?
Sure. APO, A as in apple, P as in Paul, O as in orangutan, and four. And so there's like a 2, 3, or 4 in any combination of those. So if you have two copies of the four, they call it 4-4, that is the one that's the highest risk.
And then Sandy says, isn't an infrared sauna a big source of EMFs? And someone else said, what are EMFs? The electromagnetic fields. So is infrared sauna a big source of EMFs? I didn't know that.
It depends on the unit. There are some units out there. There's a local company in Boulder that's really low EMF. It's the one I have in my clinic. And there are other ones. You do want to check the ratings and the things on your sauna, but they should not be a high source if you get a good quality brand.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for that question. All right. Back to your blog post, 12 tips for a healthy brain. First one is add coconut oil to your diet. You said there's growing evidence that regular consumption of coconut oil may offer profound benefits in the fight against Alzheimer's. Explain why that is.
Yeah, so this is super important to get saturated and healthy fats for the brain. Now, we've been told that saturated fats are bad for our heart, and that is true to a certain point in excess. Especially if you also have high carbohydrates and refined sugar and lots of alcohol and things like that that affect the metabolism. Now, there is one caveat to the saturated fat, which is from coconut oil. Number one, your brain is made up of fats. So we call ourselves a fat head, and it's true. We need those healthy fats. So if your cholesterol is really, really low, you are going to have trouble with brain function. So there's a happy medium there. The caveat I mentioned is those people with ApoE4/4, they are more likely to grab on and hold on to fats. So that one population should not be on a high saturated fat diet. But all of the other patients tend to do well, and they do well with intermittent fasting, which is fasting usually overnight, anywhere from 14 to 18 hours overnight. And then adding the higher fats, sometimes even a ketogenic diet, which is up to 80% fat, can be incredibly healing for the brain.
Wow, very interesting. Stepping off the blog post for just a moment, this anonymous listener called in and said, what optional alternative treatment other than medication would you suggest for treating osteoporosis?
Yeah, so shifting just a little to bone, but this is so relevant because whether it's our bones or our brain or our lungs or liver, these things all are affected by inflammation. So bones, the basic premise behind treatment of osteoporosis is acid alkaline. So if you have a very acidic diet or a lot of acid-producing organisms or toxicity, that acid needs to be buffered because we can only survive in a small range of pH. And that pH is highly regulated by our wise body and our creator. So what happens is in order to buffer that pH, if you're very acidic, it will pull minerals from your bones and from other sources in your body. So you'll tend to deplete the minerals, which make your bones hard and strong. So part of the solution to osteoporosis is increasing alkalinity in the diet. This would be the example of like leafy greens and lots of things from green vegetables versus like eggs or meat or cheese. Those are real acidic. You can also help by doing alkaline water or mineral water that actually contains more minerals. And you want to make sure you have good stomach acid because if you're hypochlorhydric, which is a fancy term for low stomach acid, no matter how much zinc or calcium or magnesium you take or is in your diet, you're not going to absorb them. So those are a few of the basics on osteoporosis.
All righty. So back to her Jill's blog post, 12 tips for a healthy brain. That first one is add coconut oil to your diet. The second is, and you touched on this, limit sugar in your diet, especially fructose. Low fat is the wrong way to go because limiting fat in foods have caused the food industry to add sugar instead of preserve flavor. And I like this. You said, we're now finding that eating a high diet, a diet high in sugar and fructose, could be the most damaging thing to do to your heart and brain. So unpack that a bit more.
Yeah, so, you know, they call dementia and Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes. It's like a third form of diabetes. So diabetes is just because our body and our cells have been so accustomed to these high levels of sugar and processed foods in the diet, they start to get kind of weak and lazy and they stop processing it well. Our brain processes the same sugar. And so if you have a sugary, highly processed food diet, it's going to do damage, of course, to your pancreas and to your muscles and your fat, but it's also going to affect your brain. So there's one type that Dale Bredesen describes, and this is the type of Alzheimer's that comes from just like a pre-diabetic state. So all that to say that when you want to reverse that, you need to really cut out all refined carbohydrates and sugars from your diet. Fructose tends to be in the form of high fructose corn syrup, which is added to processed foods. So really anything packaged, processed with a label with more than 3 ingredients, cut it out of your diet. You really want to eat plants. You want to eat clean, organic, grass-fed sources of protein. Fish and chicken are ideal. And you want to eat lots of healthy oils, olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil, those kinds of things. Nuts and seeds are great, too, as long as they're organic.
What is the thing about lectins? I've heard differing opinions about nuts versus no nuts because of lectins. What about that?
Yeah, so Steve Gundry wrote a great book called The Plant Paradox, where he is, you know, absolutely against lectins for everyone. I believe there's no one-size-fits-all. So just like the APOE4/4 gene, patients would be the few that should not have a high saturated fat diet. The same thing with lectins. There's a percentage of people who respond very poorly to lectins. They trigger inflammation in the body and in the brain. And for those people, it would be best to avoid lectins. But lectins are in plants and lots of good foods, so it's not a one-size-fits-all. There is a test you can do for lectin sensitivity. So if I have a question in the clinic, I'll often do that on my patients.
Oh, interesting. That's the point that we always want to make, is there's not a one-size-fits-all. And there are particular seasons where that you can do a certain food and another time where a healthy food is not so good for you. It's why it's so important to be in tune with what's going on in your body. Terry writes this, fantastic subject today. Love brain science and topics, revealing methods to improve brain function. Would learning a new language support a new neural pathway growth? What do you say?
Oh, 100%. Anything new, especially language, is one of the best ways. Like you said in the beginning, Susie, even learning like to walk backwards or jump rope or ride a motorcycle or those kinds of things. Recently, since I turned 40, I've both climbed the third flat iron and I've ridden a motorcycle. And so those things can actually be good for brain health.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'm looking. We've got a couple minutes left here before our break. Are the little pocket UV sanitizing wands bad for you if you have sensitivities to EMF? I had surgery before because I didn't see the rest of the text. But what about that? I'm not sure what UV sanitizing wands are. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, so UV light is often put in filtration systems in hospitals, and now they're selling, because of the fear about the pandemic, they're selling a lot of these handheld UV wands, because that UV light will actually sanitize, like kill viral or bacterial things on surfaces or your books or whatever. I think most of those handheld devices are probably very low EMF, so I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing there's a very minimal exposure with those.
All right. Can you repeat who should not eat coconut in keto? And was it those who had the positive APOE4/4 gene test?
Exactly. That's it.
Well, that was an easy one, right?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. When we come back, we'll talk about optimizing vitamin D, how important that is for brain health, but also for protection against COVID. And I'm going to read this question just to get you thinking about it before we go to the break. Linda says, topic today is so timely. Just completed my 10th vision therapy session after being diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury and had previously suffered with overlooked Lyme disease. Okay, Linda, you have been through it. I'm curious what Dr. Jill has seen with the brain and vision issues and being able to better process and retain information while not having pain from screens and yet getting improved verbal expression. So I'm going to reread that when we come to the other side of the break. And this is the thing, friend, is we want you all to have hope. God has wired our brain. This neuroplasticity is a miracle. And our brains can do workarounds. If you have deficits in your brain, damages in your brain, you can do a workaround, but it requires your cooperation as well. And that's all of the health process. We have a part and God plays a part. I always say we're going to pursue healing, and then we're going to ask God for a miracle. Do what only you can do, God. Talking to my good friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. Check out, she's got a newsletter, an amazing website and store and all kinds of things. Check her out online. But she's here to answer your questions. You can text or call 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. And that song, Hallelujah, there will be healing from this heartbreak we've been feeling and been seeing. That day is coming, friend. But in the meantime, we press on together, one faith step in front of the other. We trust God. We do what we can, and we ask God to do what only He can. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. Check her out. There's lots of podcasts and YouTube interviews with Jill that are so fascinating. She's a world-renowned expert in mold and autoimmune issues and all those kinds of things. And she's also herself a survivor survivor of multiple toxicity, breast cancer, Crohn's disease. She's a functional med doctor and an MD, so she's got a wealth of wisdom to share with us today. You can text or call with your questions. We're talking specifically brain health right now, but we welcome any questions. 877-933-2484. So Linda says, again, she said, topic today is so timely. She said, just completed my 10th vision therapy session after being diagnosed with a TBI, traumatic brain injury, had previously suffered with overlooked Lyme disease. What has Dr. Jill seen with the brain and vision issues and being able to better process and retain information while not having pain from screens and yet getting improved verbal expression? I don't fully understand the question, but I'm thinking you do.
Yes, I love this question, Linda, because it's so important. It's kind of like my story I told at the beginning of running into the concrete post. That was literally from this vestibular system. So there's a couple things. You have the visual system, the vestibular system, but it's all brain-related. It's not your eyes. And I do have some really practical tips for if you're struggling with that. First of all, there's two types of professionals that might be able to help you. One is a vestibular therapist. So that's the first person that I saw, and they will actually do an hour, 90 minutes of different exercises with your eyes and check the tracking. They check this thing called nystagmus, where your eyes kind of like staccato across the range of motion and they're not going smoothly. And that, again, you can't tell when you're inside your body, but someone else can look and see that. If that's happening as you watch the pencil go across your field of vision in front of you, that's a sign your eyes are going to get really tired when you try to read across the page. And the same with both horizontally or vertical. So a vestibular therapist will check balancing and will check all these eye exercises. And then he or she will give you exercises to do at home where you're actually tracking things with your eyes and practicing. And one of the most simple things that I recommend that I do myself is buy a balance board. You can buy a little circular balance board on Amazon or somewhere online. And I practice every morning for, 30 seconds on the balance board, because if you get your balance better, you're going to improve your vestibular system. So that's one professional. The other professional would be a behavioral ophthalmologist. And this is someone who actually does similar stuff with the eye, the vision, and helps you to change those eye patterns that are related to the brain injury and improve reading, improve the speed and all of those things. I've also found the light settings on your laptops and computers. Now, generally, especially before bed, you don't want them on the brightest light setting. But if you're struggling from contrast issues related to brain dysfunction, you will actually be able to focus and work better if it's on one of the brighter settings. That blue light actually helps increase your ability to focus and concentrate. And then lastly, biophotomodulation. This really long-term for basically red light therapy. You can do this externally with different types of red light bulbs from saunas, or you can do a device like I use, the Via Light. It's just a red light device that you can put on your head, and it shoots light straight into your brain through the skull, and there's a peg that goes right up your nose, so the light goes into the brain that way. It's kind of funny looking, but it's pretty profound for helping the brain function better.
Unbelievable. I need to find a new word. I got to quit saying that, but that's just amazing. Wow. Okay, this dear listener, and I want to make sure that we understand that I want you, listener, to be listening to your doctor, and Jill will provide, an opinion as well, but I just want to walk this one out carefully. She says, this summer I had a breast biopsy that had atypical cells. The breast doctor said the risk of cancer was low, but wanted me on a drug that is normally given to those with breast cancer. I'm not in favor of taking this drug, but I wonder what protocol would be helpful to prevent cancer. I guess talking protocol to prevent cancer, I just was careful about advising her different than her doctor. But what do you say, Dr. Jill?
Yeah, and I just want to frame this because I am a breast cancer survivor, and I used all of the conventional chemotherapy and drugs that were advised. And I'm not a huge believer as far as the toxicity and all that. But when you're facing a life-threatening condition, I would not always advise you to do only natural forms. That's between you and your doctor and to make that decision. But not all drugs are bad. And I feel like even these really, really toxic drugs that I had to take, they saved my life. And so I find that balance is so important. Now, at the same time, the nutrition and all of that is incredibly important as well. And whether we're talking about the brain or cancer or osteoporosis, I love it because from a functional perspective, some of the core principles are identical. And this may sound really trite. I've probably said it before, but some of the core things are clean air, clean water, clean food. You're like, really, Dr. Jill, is that all it is? That's not all it is, but it comes down to what you put into your body to start is so much more important than buying hundreds of supplements where you spend a lot of money. You have to start with a clean diet, and if you're not doing a clean diet, no amount of supplements will overcome. Same thing with clean air. If you're in a moldy environment or you've had a tick bite, infections that aren't treated, no amount of bottles of supplements will help. So with cancer, I recommend incredibly important clean diet, clean air, clean food, all of those things, clean water. Other things that can be really helpful are antioxidants, so vitamin C, vitamin D, which is also, as we'll mention, very important for brain health. Things like ECGC, resveratrol, curcumin, they're all important as well. And I could list 20 others, but that'd probably be best to get a specific protocol with your doctor.
Wow. This is an interesting question. I'm 43-year-old struggling with brain function. At times, I greatly struggle to feel love towards my husband, kids, or even God. Could Lyme, mold, or mercury toxicity all contribute to my inability to feel? Will it go away as I treat each of those?
Oh, Susie, I'm literally getting goosebumps. We touched on this one of our last programs, but I'm in the midst of writing my memoir, so this is very fresh. I went through a divorce about 5 years ago, and as I write about it, my ex-husband has had Lyme disease, and I had mold-related illness, and we both, for a period of time, partially due to the infections, kind of lost our empathy and our ability to connect. And as I'm writing this chapter, I'm literally weeping because I realize how many people, and I would never blame it all on the infections because we have ownership of our actions and our words, but there was a huge part of our failure of our relationship based on this inflammation of the brain and what it can do. Like I mentioned before, I'm not a depressed person. I've never suffered with depression, but after mold exposure, certain types of mold, I would get this dark feeling that wasn't me. And I would sometimes get that when I was in the worst of the mold, I was such a hermit because the social interaction, talking to people, being with people was overwhelming into my brain. And so it's very, very real that you could have more trouble interacting, more irritability, more anxiety, or more depression based on brain inflammation. That's a real thing.
I remember, friend, go back. If you go on myfaithradio.com and search Dr. Jill Carnahan, you'll find our last conversation because she talked extensively about this. And something fascinating about that, Dr. Jill, is I don't remember if this was on a conversation between you and I on the phone or was on the show, but you talked about the limbic response is the same to trauma. I mean, there's a trauma yes. connection to mold toxicity and other autoimmune inflammatory responses that impact that same fight, flight, self-protection, and inability to feel for someone else, like an involuntary response. It's not like you're making this up as an excuse. I don't feel well, so I don't want to relate to you. But it's almost like an involuntary response.
Yeah, it's that capacity. I always think of capacity. When you have great, healthy brain cells, your diet's great, you have no exposures, your capacity to deal with change and difficult conversations and conflict is normal. It's 100%. When you have this inflammation, whether it's due to Lyme disease or mold toxicity or poor diet or other chemicals, your capacity is much more limited. So you're going to be more irritable, angry, sad, anxious more quickly than you would if you had your full resources.
Okay. This dear listener says, I have fibromyalgia. I feel like I'm constantly walking around in a brain fog, plus achy and exhausted, especially bad each fall season. I've tried many things. Any tips for me?
Yeah. So fibromyalgia, it is one of those diagnoses that I mean no offense, but chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, I call them wastebasket diagnoses, not because they're not real. So I know, listener, your suffering is real. But what I mean is it's a description of your symptoms, but it doesn't really help you out a whole lot because it doesn't tell you how you got there and how to get healed from it. And so with functional medicine, we go deeper and say, what are the things that are contributing to the symptoms of the muscle pain and the brain fog? Often there's underlying viral infections like Epstein-Barr and CMV and Coxsackie and all kinds of viruses. They can reactivate in a weakened immune system. It could be, again, toxic load from chemicals or diet or mold. It could be other infections that are like atypical bacteria like mycoplasma or Lyme disease. So really with fibromyalgia, it could be gut issues too, which is a whole other topic. So you'd want to work with your doctor to look at all those underlying root causes and see what things might be contributing to your symptoms.
Is that more of an umbrella diagnosis? Like, could it be someone who's been given that diagnosis underneath it, if they go after the mold, or they go after some inflammatory response, or maybe even a food allergy, that it would clear up the symptoms? Because I sometimes, if that's the case, I wonder how many people are walking around accepting it when there might be answers to their body's questions. You know what I mean?
100%, Susie. You hit the nail on the head. Again, chronic fatigue, frequent migraines, fibromyalgia, even most autoimmune diseases, those are all what I consider to be solvable problems. They're not incurable. And they might all, you might have five women or five men with fibromyalgia, and they all have a different underlying cause. So it's not all one size fits all either.
Hmm. So important. I remember Dr. Troy said it 100% of the time. He said, at least in their clinic, fibro has the triangle, the three sides. There's a chemical, there's a physical, and there's an emotional component. And there's often trauma, there's different exposures, and then there's a physiological response. And you have to address all three. And, you know, that would just be an amazing answer to prayer, to see so many who are walking around going, I have to accept that I'm going to ache all the time. And what if, like, I have a loved one who gave up grains. Her grains never bugged her gut, but she felt achy. She had a lot of the fibro symptoms and went to a grain-free diet, became a great cook, and feels great now. All the symptoms are gone. And I just don't give up the fight. You know, keep trying to turn over the rocks and ask the questions. I just think it's worth it. All right, Tom asked this question. How many, although I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio. Okay, back to questions from my real doctor friend. How many units of vitamin D does the doctor recommend? And should we take it more than once a day? Great question, Tom. What do you say?
Yeah, so for the average person, 2,000 international units is really a safe dose. I don't think I've never seen anyone get too toxic on that dose. Many people need upwards of 5,000 a day. I would not go above 5,000 if you don't check your blood level, because if you start going above that, you could get toxic. And usually the level range you want on your lab is anywhere from 50 to 80, ideally. If you start to get above 100, that can cause toxicity. So you want to check those levels and make sure your doctor's following them. Most people can figure out a dose that works for them, so you don't have to keep checking it. But those are pretty good averages.
Very, very good. Okay, let's see here. Amy writes, love these conversations with Dr. Jill. Could you ask her if she's heard of NEU FIT as treatment for multiple sclerosis? New FIT? Just heard about it. Any big picture treatment approaches for someone who's been non-ambulatory for several years? My sisters and I would love to see our mom at least be able to walk in her house again. These texts came in out of order. Apparently, it's supposed to create new neural pathways from the brain to a person's muscles by causing isometric contractions. Does Dr. Jill have any colleagues in Wisconsin she can recommend? Several questions there, but what do you say?
Got you. The new thing I've not heard of, but there are so many devices on different levels that I do think have some potential. So I can't really comment on that specific device. I would look for some science behind it and make sure it's not just a marketing ploy or scheme, because sadly, those people who are sick like that are often targeted for things that are really not very helpful. As far as doctors, there's a few professional organizations that train functional doctors, so I would just recommend that you go to there and you can search by zip code. So IFM.org is the Institute of Functional Medicine. They're one of the primary training organizations. They will have doctors in your zip code. ICI, that's International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness. That's a little bit more mold related, but they definitely understand those doctors, mold, Lyme, the complex illnesses. And that would be a place you could search. A4M, just like it sounds, Apple 4M as in Mary. That's another organization that trains doctors. Those are the ones that I teach for. So they're all pretty legitimate as far as training physicians for the kind of person you might want to see in Wisconsin.
All right, we're going to pause here. I see a few more texts coming in and calls coming in. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You can text or call. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan today. Been talking about brain health, talking about inflammation, talking about trusting God, taking steps, doing what you can, trusting God to do what he can and will do and wants to do. When we come back, Kaylin wants to know if you've heard of the book Use Your Brain to Change Your Age by Dr. Daniel Amen. I'd love to hear your thoughts, she says. And we got a few more as well. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead with Dr. Jill Carnahan.
It's life for the show.
let that play out a little bit. You got to have some faith. You got to have some faith. Susie Larson here talking to my friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. And you notice if you listen off enough, I will address the health issue a couple times a month because it matters. And I'm someone who's had to fight and contend for the faith, contend for health. But I've seen how much we can do when we partner with God and are willing to make some necessary changes. This is why I have this dear friend of mine on the show. Today, we've been talking about brain health, protecting against dementia, but also just answering other health questions as well. We've got one more segment with Dr. Jill, so you can text or call 877-933-2484. We got Kaylin on the line. I love that you're brave, Kaylin. So many people are afraid to get on the air and actually ask a question, and I'd love that you're brave enough to join us. You're on with Dr. Jill.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question, Jill?
Well, I really like the book Use Your Brain to Change Your Age by Dr. Daniel Amen. And so it's got a lot of facts that are very similar to what you're talking about because it's all about brain health. And he does SPECT scans, which are scans that see the blood flow in the brain. Have you heard about that?
Yes, that's called functional MRI. And I know Daniel Amen. He is a wonderful psychiatrist and does a great, he's now all over the country, I believe, his Amen clinics, and they do a really good functional approach. So he actually has lots of doctors working for him that all follow his protocol, and he's absolutely excellent. So I have not read his latest book, but because I know him well, I would highly recommend it, and most of the work that he does would fall right in line with what we're talking about today.
Hmm. Well, Kaylin, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. We appreciate it. Did you have another question for Dr. Jill?
Well, there's just so many points that are, you know, matching, you know, getting enough sleep and staying at the right weight. The bigger you, if you get overweight, your brain actually shrinks.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, let's talk sleep really quick because we didn't talk about that. And that may be the number one thing in my toolbox that I do not compromise and that I can't have a patient well unless they're sleeping. So this is such a core issue. And of course, a lot of you may struggle with insomnia. So trying to get the root cause of that. And that's why I like there's things you can get on your iPhone and devices you can get and the rings or whatever. But it's nice to track your deep and your light sleep and your REM sleep because they have different functions. And if you're not getting enough of both of them, it will affect your brain. You want to get at least an hour, hour and a half of deep sleep, preferably more, and then REM as well, an hour, hour and a half or more. Ideally, you maybe want like 2 hours of deep sleep. It will really, really make a difference because the deep sleep is the time when your body's immune system repairs itself, regeneration happens, and a lot of that healing takes place. The REM sleep is like your rapid eye movement where you're actually thinking and processing the day's problems. So you have time to kind of process your subconscious. And a lot of times you come up, if you've had a good night of REM sleep, you might wake up with a great idea.
Hmm. Interesting. And a quick side note, I mean, I see people, all kinds of texts are coming in going, oh, we have more questions. We need more time. But one side note is there's a co-infection with Lyme disease. I think it's Babesia. One that I actually have a little bit of a trouble with that you said can cause severe insomnia. So I need all kinds of support to help me sleep. But there are underlying causes like that you have to keep turning over the rocks. It's hard and it takes time. But these things are treatable if you go after them, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you're right. That Babesia can really affect sleep. And so can a few other infections. But that's a big one.
Hmm. Okay.
To make sure you don't have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a huge thing.
Yeah. Well, Kaylin, thank you for calling in today. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
All right. We got this listener says, can Dr. Jill help with concussion from football injury, then hit on the head in a car accident 2 years ago? Any thoughts?
Oh, yes. And, you know, you keep hearing us talk about mold and Lyme, but the kinds of the big four, and there's more than this, but these are big ones. Past concussions are going to put you at risk for dementia, Alzheimer's, and brain dysfunction. Even if at the time, say you were 16, 24, 35, you didn't notice a big difference, even old concussions can predict later in life issues with the brain. We talked about infections. Lyme is a big one, but many, many infections like strep and viruses can also affect the brain. Toxins. Mm-hmm. So heavy metals like mercury and thallium and arsenic and lead can all affect the brain. And then just the all of these insults layered together are really the issue. So back to concussions, there are lots of concussion specialists, and this is where you actually can do a lot of times they'll have that vestibular therapist I mentioned involved, so all kinds of different therapies. Nowadays, I am not the expert in this realm, but there's the light devices, there's some of these EEG machines and biofeedback that you can do. So there's lots of different ways now that you can really retrain a brain that has had a concussion.
This is an interesting side note. I remember hearing a story, and you can correct me because I'm sure you know the actual documentation around it, but I read it a few years ago of a man who'd gotten, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but he was in, I think, like his 40s, which was so insanely young. And he lost his business because he had no cognitive function. He was actually put in a home or institution. And then somebody was related to him, learned about mold toxicity and that it can cause similar symptoms. So they pulled him out and did one of those neuroquant MRIs, found all kinds of mold on his brain, did all the binders and the protocol and the treatment to pull that stuff out. They reversed the diagnosis. He got full cognitive function back and opened a new business. Do you remember ever hearing that story?
You know, not that one in particular, but Susie, this is, I'm so glad you mentioned it. Dale Partisan, again, he will say one in three cases, that's 33%+ of Alzheimer's is mold related, and especially in young people. And when I'm talking young for dementia, that's 40s, 50s, even 60s, early 60s. And often it'll be a very fast decline in a younger person, like say 55. That is young to get dementia symptoms. And I would check for mold, number one thing in that kind of a case.
Wow. All righty. Let's see here. I'm looking at my clock here. My wife has a lot of health issues. I'm, wondering if we can find a doctor in the Fargo-Moorhead area. Would you mention that a couple of organizations, once again, that they can just look where they can find doctors in a network?
Sure. The one that probably is biggest, easiest is ifm.org. That stands for Institute of Functional Medicine. You can search for a practitioner by zip code, and you can find the type of practitioner you're looking for. A4M.com is another organization that trains both anti-aging and integrative functional medicine physicians. And if you want someone who specializes in environmentally acquired illness, which is like mold toxicity, the International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness, or ISEAI.org.
Very good. This dear listener says, I have Sjogren's, an autoimmune disease. Is it treatable? I'm wondering if there's a way to return to normal saliva. My mouth is so dry. I eat healthy.
Yeah, so with autoimmunity, there's absolutely ways to reverse or to at least stop progression. With anything like, say, it's a pancreatic autoimmune disease, a type 1 diabetes, or it's a Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or it's Sjogren's, what's happened for you is the body's immune system has attacked your salivary ducts. So if the damage has been completely done and they have been, you know, the damage is done, you can reverse progression, but you may not reverse all of the symptoms. But with autoimmunity, just like there was a triad we talked about earlier, there's a triad, and it involves genetics, which you can't change. But the other two parts of that are triggers from the environment, like mold or heavy metals or infections, or the gut-immune interface. And usually all three of those things, so genetics, gut-immune interface, like leaky gut, and then the environmental toxicity or triggers are involved. And if you can figure out for your case what's causing it, you can often reverse the autoimmunity.
Interesting. Okay, how about this one? Statins and neuropathy. Any comments? Short and sweet.
Yeah, so statins are more likely to cause myopathies, which is muscle pain and weakness. It depletes the formation of CoQ10. So if you need to be on a statin, which I am not opposed to, you need to be taking CoQ10 with it.
All righty. Very good. Let's see here. I'm looking. I've got so many of them coming in. Okay, I'm going to look down to my notes here. We talked about your blog post about 12 tips for a healthy brain. We talked coconut oil. We're almost out of time here. Adding coconut oil to your diet, limiting sugar, optimizing your vitamin D. You've got about 1 minute. Say just a quick word about keeping your fasting insulin levels below 5. What you mean by that?
Yeah, so basically the thing that creates diabetes and insulin resistance is this high load of our body to process sugar in our diet. So if we deliberately decrease the refined carbohydrates that go quickly, so like anything bread, pizza, cookies, crackers, donuts, all the good yummy things with flours or just sugary types of things, we can deliberately keep our insulin level low and prevent the onset of type 3 Alzheimer's, which is also like type 3 diabetes. It's like a third type of Alzheimer's that is driven by a diabetic predisposition.
Yeah, Dr. Troy's called it diabetes on the brain. So that just gives it kind of a picture. Well, Dr. Jill, the time has flown by. We're out of time. I look forward to our next conversation. I know you're such a busy woman, so that you would give time to our listeners means the world to me. Thank you, my friend.
You're so welcome.
Appreciate you so much. And I pray you found some encouragement here today, feel a little bit better equipped and educated. We'll get Dr. Jill on again next month. Don't give up hope. Just keep taking the next step. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.